Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 13th. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Oh, I've hit my quotas of Bill.
There you go.
How's that, huh? Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from Thaddeus Golis. Inside yourself or outside, you never have to change what you see, only the way you see it.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah. I would imagine that's part of the challenge that you guys have got also on the fire, you know, when you guys are rolling.
Right.
Fluid nature of things.
Mm-hmm. Because you get that dispatch, you get toned out, like if it's a case of a structure fire, you get typically a location, you get the information that a reporting party has given to dispatch, and as you're going, the situation changes. You know, you've got those injects. Hey, there's smoke showing. Okay, there is a fire. You know, those things that start processing as you're going there.
So are the guys trained to be that reactive to it, or do they roll thinking, okay, we know where we're going, we know roughly why we're going, but we don't know what we're going to be dealing with when we get there, everything ready.
Right.
And when they get on site, then determination.
Exactly. You go out the door based on what's toned out or what comes across from dispatch based on the reporting party. So if it says structure fire, boom, they've got all of their protective equipment, their structure gear on, they're thinking structure fire. And as they're going, as they get more, they see the smoke showing, or they get an updated, the dispatch says multiple reporting parties. That's usually a pretty good sign that, yeah, we're going to work.
Does that mean more than one person has called 911?
Yes. Okay. And they're getting more information that they're feeding to us while we're responding. And then you get those visual, like I said, smoke showing or flames visible type thing as you're coming in. That starts adjusting, or you get a location near such and such intersection. So you're coming into it with eyes open. Okay, it's somewhere around here. It could be in the alley. It could be down the street. But this is the location that somebody had that they knew of.
Now, I know you guys will spend a lot of time going through commercial structures to kind of get a lay of the land, so to speak. So if you're coming up to a fire, let's say, in a block in a commercial district, the street address is on the front, but there's an alley.
Right.
How do you assess where to set up, whether it's the front or the back?
Typically, as you're coming in, especially if you're that first unit, you'll try and get a view of at least three sides. So if you don't necessarily have fire showing on what would be considered the front, the address side, you're looking as you come up to it, and then you may go just slightly past it. Then if you don't see anything in the area attempting to locate, and everybody starts, as they continue in, you start hitting the alleys, different units will be in that area. And so you can dial down where it's at pretty fast then.
I would figure that alleys are the least desirable because of the physical trap
that could be there. Yeah, and typically if it's a fire engine, we might lay at the road and then pull hoses in so that we don't get that engine or that truck right against the fire.
Save the truck, lose the hose?
Exactly. It's the cheaper of the two.
Yeah, I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Billy, looking at the fire that you guys responded to, what, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, it was on the night plant. Of the 30th, headed into the 31st.
Yeah, that was a rough day for a lot of us.
Yeah, it was a long day.
Commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Not being used?
Right.
Waterfront?
Right.
Okay. Now, in the past, we've heard lots of cool stuff about the fireboat.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's those commercial structures present unique challenges, particularly one that has used chemicals in the past. I don't know if it was clean or not.
Right.
How did you respond on that one?
You know, going into it, of course, you know, years ago when the main plant shut down, and then as the ice in the plant melted, there were structural sagging. After that many years, the ice was structural, and we knew this building was. You know, vacant other than the transient activity that's been going on. There was a lot of evidence of that in there. But it's been one that's been on our radar as we've gone along, and we've identified this, that if this has a working fire, you know, because of the dilapidation of some of the building and multiple cooler units and everything else, tons of weight on the roof, that with this particular building, we weren't going to put anybody inside of the building. When the crews were headed down there, right off the bat, smoke showing. I was coming in on Broadway on the response, and I could see smoke from just north of Bayshore Mall, and visible in the night sky. And we were on scene for maybe 15 minutes, and we had fire through the roof. We went into what we call a defensive attack right from the start. Stay on the outside, put the big water into it, and try and knock the fire down.
Now, so there was no immediate concern about the building, saving the building, quote-unquote.
Right.
Next door to it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it currently is, but I know historically it was Bob Davenport's,
right,
with the gas and, mm-hmm. and the Exxon.
Right.
Gas, tanks of gas,
right,
next door to heat, probably, and then open on the other mm-hmm. edges. I would think you were probably laying a lot of water in on the west side of the building.
We definitely were. You know, we broke it into four sides around the building, and we threw resources. From the photos everybody saw, we had three ladder trucks there. We had both of ours, and we had Fortunas there. You know, we had Arcata, Samoa. We had a number of Blue Lake, Lolita came in to help with coverage. Other units came in. And, you know, we set up a large water flow. Fortunately, the fuel tanks are gone next door for the old Davenport.
So those had been pulled.
Exactly. There's no fuel there anymore other than for the current use. The current owner does have a propane tank there. And in the course of the fire, we had part of the west wall came down into that old Davenport building, into the 75-gallon propane tank. Excuse me. And we just, by virtue, we got lucky. The wall section, over a period of time, actually shielded the tank from heat. The way it fell down, it made an A-frame right next to it. Just like those pockets you hear of when a building falls down in an earthquake. You could have somebody safe in an A-frame. Well, in this case, we kept somebody with that because it was too big and we couldn't get it out of there. But they were able to keep it cooled down, and the wall helped immensely.
Were you able to use, or did you need to use the fireboat?
We did. We had the fireboat on scene. It was about 35 or 40 minutes into the evolution, and they flowed for a number of hours from the bay. And of course, fortunately, you don't have water supply problems, you know, coming from the bay. You got as much as you can pump. And they were pumping about 3,000 gallons a minute into the bay side of the structure.
Is that a lot?
That is a lot. You know, the units that were around it, we were pulling on the city water system. We were pulling on hydrants off of Waterfront Drive, and we laid another supply line to supply one of those trucks from Second Street, and then used an engine to push water to it also. And then the water department was able to open up additional valving, increase pump pressure for us. That helped immensely, but there was a little bit of a lead time getting there.
So with that structure as it was being mm-hmm. vacant, why not let it burn?
You know, we had to let it burn.
Yeah.
We still had the consideration of what we referred to the buildings on the west were exposures for us. We had a tremendous pile of, in that property and then the next property, of crab pots. And you think, okay, a metal crab pot, everything that wraps it, that all the rope, all the buoys, it goes like crazy. And so we had three buildings west of it that we were very worried about with the ongoing collapses of the walls. We had the boats as an exposure for Coast Seafood, and actually Leroy Zerlang and crew were there, and at one point we're prepared to start pulling Coast Seafood's boats off of the dock to move them to another location. But we had a little bit of a wind change, and with the effort that we were getting, we started to knock that fire down in that corner of the building.
So it just kind of made sense at the moment.
Yep.
Because I would think nothing would be worse than a half-burned shell.
Right, right.
Now, if you had break-ins before, you got break-ins all over.
It's harder to secure it, you know, and we had, too. There was still a lot of insulation in the building. There was some ugly smoke that came out of that in the middle of the night.
I was wondering if that was
part of the... Yeah, that was a piece of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Better not to know what you're standing in than... No, that probably doesn't make too much sense either. And cleanup was about a day?
You know, it was... Well, we were tied into it all through the weekend into the next week. So we had a lot of time that we were roped up.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Bill, looking at commercial fires and commercial structures, are they significantly different than retail or residential?
Like residential?
Yeah.
They are. Typically,
I kind of foreshadowed my next question with retail, didn't I?
That's okay. Okay. Well, with a commercial building, typically you've got a bigger building, and you've got quite often, at least in most cases, you've got a heavier fire load in that building. Whatever's being stored there or whatever's being manufactured adds to the fire load within the building when you get something going. You know, in the case of like the ice plant, they didn't have a lot of stuff, per se, inside, but the building itself, there was a lot of wood components. The walls that had caught on fire gave us tremendous difficulty over the week that followed, because all the insulation was redwood bark. And so you got a wall that's a foot or a foot and a half thick, that the redwood bark just keeps smoldering and smoldering, and literally until we got all of those walls that had been in the fire pulled apart with an excavator, we were down there through the first, pretty much rotating crews on 2-hour basis the whole time.
That must have been a interesting education for the younger guys to see bark, one, mm-hmm. to see how bark continues
right
long term.
Right, right. And you still see it in residences when you go in periodically. An older home, we saw one last year, about a year and a half ago, in the Henderson Center area. It had redwood bark insulation in the attic. You know, I mean, it was used because there was so much of it.
Yeah.
And it was effective.
And the termites don't like it.
There you go.
That's even more reason to use the stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you've got current construction commercial. You got historical construction that maybe you have plans on, maybe you don't have plans on, and everything in between.
Right.
So if you are in a commercial area, warehouses differ significantly from retail. Does that change how you attack a fire, how you approach a call?
It does. You know, typically you get something, especially a well-established fire going in something commercial, you typically go to larger hose lines and larger, you know, the deck gun on an engine versus what maybe is the typical line they see, you know, the public sees us pull into a house fire. You're going with more water because you got, it takes, you know, gallons per minute, it takes GPM to put down BTUs. And, you know, with the fuel load, that'll dictate a lot of our tactics.
When you approach a residence, do you worry about breakage?
We do. We try and reduce it because...
But if you're throwing as much water on it as you can, you're going to be blowing windows out.
Right.
And that's okay.
That ends up being part of the damage, unfortunately, to stop the fire and reduce the damage.
What about in a commercial setting?
Right.
Let's say it's a warehouse. Warehouse of product, but we non-specific product.
Right.
You just kind of go and you work around the product or try to get it moved out of the way.
We'll either try and protect it in place. If it's a case, if we've got enough personnel and we can get in there and throw salvage covers, great big heavy canvas tarps, we'll try and protect it. Sometimes, if we can do it, we'll move things to get them up off of the floor. You know, in the case of down on 4th Street, when we had last June, that fire was burning in a location. The warehouse on the east side of it was full of furniture. A lot of it was boxed or crated. What we could, we tried to move it back. One, it gives us a better path and access, and then tried to protect it from water damage and fire damage if we could. We want to try and minimize the economic loss if we can.
Could you have brought in forklifts and pulled gotten them out of the building so that your guys aren't encumbered by that?
It depends on the situation and where the fire is. There's been times in the past where we have incorporated equipment to move product. A big example of that is a log deck type fire. We've had a few of those on the waterfront, and you get the property owner in, and they step over from where you're flowing water, and they start moving logs. They're trying to make a fire line, basically.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Give some separation.
Exactly. And we'll work, you know, at different points. If we can do it, we've got the personnel. We'll help identify, like, you know, if it's retail or something like that, my computer, my records. If we've got the ability, we'll try and get stuff out of the building, especially if we're in a hard fight and it's still going that direction. We'll try and pull what we can.
Will you guys do it, or will you try to get the landlord of that adjacent building to be working so you're...
Depends on the situation. If it's something where fire is close, but we've got the ability to grab some certain things, we'll do it. If it's further down the block and it's a precaution, we'll try and work with the folks. And then at that point, okay, it's time to go now.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. We got this new thing now that's happening in Eureka. Legal commercial marijuana grows. That's going to start. I know a couple of the landlords are already shifting and moving. I know that the law enforcement guys are concerned about their area.
Mm-hmm.
You guys already have got the sprinkler codes and all that kind of right. stuff that's in play already.
Right.
What special complications do you see or special adjustments mm-hmm. that you anticipate that the department's going to have to do once these things are up and happening?
Well, one of the big ones that we're in actually right now is the education process, both for us and for those who are filing permits. You know, you've got the grow side, you've got the manufacturing side, so that's like extraction or making products out of the cannabis.
So the hash lab concept is going to be legal too?
Yep.
Now, I know what your philosophy is right now to that stuff, if it's another setting.
Right.
When you go in as part of the licensing, mm-hmm. are you going to require, okay, guys, this is what you're going to have. You cannot cheap this thing.
Right.
It has to be done to this level.
It's got to be a closed-loop system. It's got to go into a facility that's designed for that type of use. If they're using something, and it's interesting because this has taken a lot of work, and in fact, our fire marshal, Ed Laidlaw, has been heavily involved with it.
Oh, that's got to just thrill Eddie no end.
he's done a tremendous amount of educational work for himself and for us in the department, because you look at it, and you've got to look at the process. Some of the language that they use in the marijuana legality side isn't language you find in the fire code or the building code at all. So you've got to.
So you're having to do some bridging.
Exactly. And even more so right now, we're doing bridging. We've been working with Arcata Fire Protection District in the realm of fire prevention. Their fire prevention person left, so we're working on a contract right now that we're providing services over into Arcata for prevention. And it's been a pretty incredible opportunity because initially, Arcata was farther down the path on the marijuana side of it, and really it's made us, and specifically made Ed, that common thread, because now he's working with Arcata and working with the building and the planning community in Arcata. He's working with the building department and the planning department within the city of Eureka, and he's already got the contact from our outlying areas with the county. And so what we're trying to work, all of the entities are trying to come together so that we're talking a common language, we're applying the code consistently, because the fire code and the building code, the mechanical codes, lay out a lot of this stuff already. It's just not specific to cannabis. It could be whatever extraction. We're looking for them to do it safely.
Is the marijuana stuff more combustible? Is it different in that fashion, or is it just the concerns of utilizing the experiences that you guys have had?
I think it's a combination of the experiences. It isn't necessarily that it's more combustible. You could be extracting lavender or mint in the same type of system. It's making sure that however it's used, we've got proper code application so that it's done properly from the start and it's safe. You know, we want to see it in a building that's designed for it, not, tucked in somebody's garage.
What's the biggest concern you've got right now as you enter this new way of thinking?
You know, I think the biggest side is to be able to make sure that the folks that are doing this are doing it in a compliant fashion. We want it safe because, we see enough issues. We see lots of problems with the butane side. If they're going to go down that path and it's going to be legitimate for that, they need to do it up to code, and it has to be safe in a location designed for it.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Oh, boy, you're going to have a fun month coming up.
Uh-huh.
See everybody on Monday.